Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Now let's take a look at how Michelangelo depicted the figure of St. Andrew on the walls of the Sistine Chapel, precisely on the Last Judgment fresco. That's with our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome.
Many people, like myself, don't really know that there's St. Andrew in that fresco.
Probably because he's standing, looking out of the fresco in the other direction, actually. Because if you're looking straight at the fresco, on the left-hand side, you will see, just almost beside the Madonna, you will see St. Andrew, who's looking into the back part of the fresco. He's not looking at us in the chapel. And he's holding on to the cross, the X-shaped cross, with his right arm. And this was obviously the cross of his execution and his martyrdom, and a cross which he didn't want to have in the same shape. He didn't feel he was worthy of being crucified on a cross of the same type as Christ, let's say the Latin cross, even though in earlier parts of the iconography he has been also depicted as crucified on a normal cross similar to the one Christ was. And here in this figure here, it's strange because it's almost like one part of his figure is in the light and strongly painted, and the left side of his body seems to be painted in a darker colour, and it also seems kind of smaller than the right part. So it's almost like a split image in the same figure. Probably Michelangelo painted him in this way, and you see his left arm almost disappears behind the figure right behind him in the back, in the background. Figure wearing a green diaphanous robe. It's very beautiful, actually, that green robe, because Michelangelo really did know how to paint green. Because putting green and blue together in a painting has to be the hardest job for any painter. You have to get it right.
Why is that?
Because they clash. They can clash and eat each other up, the two colours, in such a way that you can't see one of them clearly. So they can destroy also the other colours around. So if you don't get the right colour, it's like the harmony. Michelangelo was marvellous for creating harmony in colour, and I think this is a really strong gift, because it's not to be said that all painters have this. I mean, all painters use all these colours, but it's not so much using the colour per se that's important for art, it's how you put them together. What kind of message, subtle message can they give to the spiritual part of the person? Especially if you're painting religious subjects, this becomes, I think, even more important, because you have to try and envelop the observer, to try and stimulate the sense of God in these figures. Now here, going back to Andrew, as you can see, he's looking the other way, and even his hair is divided into two sections. One part seems to have a little splash of light on it, and the other part doesn't. And he seems to have short, dark hair. You can see that there, Veronica. Huh? So it's a very intense kind of pose that he's holding. It's almost like he's holding back the figures who are behind Christ, Madonna, and John the Baptist, who's right next to him. It's almost like he's giving space for John the Baptist to become a bigger protagonist in the action that's going on in the top part of this. And he's also, as he was a fisherman and the brother of Peter, he also was a student, or let's say a follower of St. John the Baptist. And that's probably also why they put him near that figure. And this makes it look to me more likely, because sometimes people think that this figure here might be Adam. And other people think it's John the Baptist. But I think if you think in terms of the relationship between these two, I think it's more likely to be John the Baptist.
St. Andrew is really one of the closest figures to Christ, isn't he?
Yes, yes, he is. And again, I mean,
he's even closer than St. Peter.
Well, I mean, yes and no, because it's about the same distance, really, because if, you see, between St. Andrew and Christ, you have also the Madonna. Maybe. So that space itself takes up, her figure takes up a certain quantity of space, which you don't notice so much the other side. Because on the other side you have Peter, you have St. John the Evangelist just sort of sitting near Peter, and then he's right next to Christ as well, just in the same way that the Madonna is on the other side. So in a sense, the distance is not that great. But he being a brother of St. Peter, and it was he who introduced, let's say, St. Peter to Christ. So in a sense that there is a certain, I mean, a very intimate relationship with these main figures here in the top part of the fresco. A very important relationship, in my opinion.
An intimacy.
Yeah, because you have, you know, you have the successor of Christ. You have the first pope, let's say. Peter is the first pope. You have St. John the Evangelist next to him, who wrote his Gospels and also the book of the Apocalypse. Then you have, right next to that, you have Christ the Judge. Then you have the Madonna. Then you have Andrew as well, who is a brother of Peter. And right next to him, you have John the Baptist, who is the prophet who foretold the imminent arrival of Christ.
Well, thanks there to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Innes, for sharing with us her expertise in the field of sacred art. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.